Welcome back to the program. The first hour is brought to you by Thomas Bax at American Family Insurance, 314-298-7770. Call now, mention that 590 show, and get a $10 gift card. Joining us on the Belmont Automotive phone line is a boxing announcer for CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Sean Wheelock. Sean Wheelock, how are you, sir?
Great. Thank you for having me back on the program. I appreciate it.
We always look forward to your insights because I know that you have been, you've seen it all and you've pretty much well done it all when it comes to MMA outside of the ring in boxing, correct?
Yeah, no, I'm a full-time boxing and a full-time MMA commentator, so I am particularly intrigued about Mayweather versus McGregor because I work in both sports.
Yeah, and it sounds like this is going to be, there may be more fights in the stands than there will be in the ring because you're going to have the MMA purists and you're going to have the boxing purists, and it seems like for some reason those two just can't get along. Like, you can't enjoy both of them. You got to enjoy one or the other. And then you're going to have the strong Conor McGregor team behind his back as well. I think that there may be more interesting things going on in the stands than in the ring. Would I be wrong in saying that?
No, I think you're right. And my buddy Chael Sonnen, the former UFC light heavyweight and middleweight contender, who's a great podcaster, a great broadcaster.
Yes, he is.
Bellator. Chael said to me, this is a fight where you're not interested in who wins, but what happens. And I think that's really right. Realistically, there is no way that Conor McGregor is going to win this because it's a boxing match, just like if this were an MMA fight or even kickboxing. There is no way that Floyd Mayweather Jr. is going to win. But I was speaking to a friend of mine earlier today who works in MMA, and I said, you know, this isn't going to be a second-round TKO. Something weird is going to happen. It just feels like that type of fight. Something is going to go down. I don't know what that is. Something is going to go down. Saying that, I literally give Conor McGregor a 0% chance of winning. I think it's completely unrealistic, and yet I'm going to be watching, and I cannot wait to see this fight.
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of like that. Everybody's kind of waiting for the car crash. Everybody's waiting for the dumpster fire. But, I mean, it's everybody's expecting it to be that, too. So if it's not that, let's say it's a kind of a boring fight. And I think how it's going to go down is that Floyd Mayweather is going to win by technical knockout, like in the mid rounds, like anywhere between 6 and 8, because I think McGregor is just going to gas out and Mayweather is just going to keep tagging him with combinations, and eventually the ref's going to step in and stop the fight. And I think if it ends that way and that's how it goes down, I think some people might be kind of disappointed because they're wanting to see something crazy happen.
There's no doubt about it. And, you know, if you look at Conor McGregor, he does have an amateur boxing background. He's never had a pro boxing match, but he's the reigning UFC 155-pound champion. He's the former UFC 145-pound champion. I think he's an outstanding fighter. I don't think he's the best pound-for-pound fighter in MMA. I don't think he's even close, but I think he's an outstanding fighter. But when you're talking about boxing and MMA, really from a technical standpoint, it's like talking about swinging a baseball bat and swinging a tennis racket. They both involve swing mechanics and hitting a ball traveling at a speed, but everything is different, including the objectives. And that's really when you're looking at striking for MMA and striking for boxing. Beyond that, even at 40, Floyd Mayweather Jr. is the best defensive fighter of his generation. And when you think about some of the amazing fighters that he has faced, look no further than his last bout against Manny Pacquiao. Look at Canelo Alvarez, who's fighting Gennady Golovkin next month, and what really is the fight of the year. These are fights.
Oh, it sounds like we lost Sean. Yeah, sounds like we lost him. So we're going to try to get him back on.
That was an unceremonious drop.
Yeah, that was a very unceremonious drop. That's the best way to describe that.
I like it when even the experts decided to say, screw throwing any caution to the wind. This guy has zero chance.
Well, yeah, and to me, that's what the funny thing is that all the experts are saying Conor McGregor's got no shot, but I've talked to several friends who think that McGregor has one.
Who's the guy McGregor just beat that came out and said that he thinks McGregor has a pretty good chance?
Nate Diaz.
Nate Diaz coming out. I'm like, Nate, come on.
Yeah.
Why do you have to say these things? It was like when all the Mizzou wrestlers agreed with TJ that he could take on Ronda Rousey. Why are you going to let these, why are you going to push the ego on this one? Come on.
Yeah, TJ just probably can't own up to the fact that he may lose to a girl.
Yeah,
we getting nothing, but is it going straight to voicemail?
When I called him originally, he said his phone was going to die, so he plugged it in, and the charger must not have it happens every once in a while. Okay. So now it's going straight to voicemail.
We've all run it. We will get him back.
Yeah, we're working on getting Sean Wheelock back here. So anyway, they've done a good job of convincing the public, the betting public, that Conor McGregor has a shot, because I'm hearing there's already more money bet on this fight than there is the Super Bowl.
There's more money just down on Mayweather, but like, than was down in the Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure it might be. I'm pretty sure that's the stat I saw. There's a ton of money down, but it's crazy how the money's separated, because there's more bets on McGregor, but there's more money on Mayweather, which makes sense because you have huge bets being put on Mayweather.
Well, yeah, because
hedging the fact that his odds are so huge and people are just expecting to win, so it's kind of like a temporary investment.
There's always going to be more money on the underdog.
Yes.
Because they're going to be like, you know, what if happens? What if that happens?
More bets.
That's what I mean.
There's a lot less money.
Less money, but more bets.
Yes.
So everybody's going to be like, okay, well, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? And I didn't put money on it, I'm going to miss out on a huge payday. So that's the reason why, like you said, there's more bets being placed on it, but more money on money.
So there's just ridiculous amounts of money coming in on Mayweather. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we're talking about guys putting in $100,000 bets in cash.
Sugar Shane saying that, Rock, if you can go on a date, then Conor has a shot at winning.
I mean, I feel like it's a little bit of an oversimplification.
I mean, okay, Conor McGregor has a shot at winning because he is getting in the ring. So if he's getting in the ring
and
with him, then he has a shot.
To quote my good friend, Marshall Erickson, a.k.a. Jason Siegel from How I Met Your Mother, I'm cuddly, bitch. Deal with it.
It was shortly after the weigh-in, I saw that Oscar De La Hoya tweeted out, bleep you, # Mayweather versus McGregor. You are disrespecting boxing. And then our friend Brett Okamoto replying to that tweet saying that McGregor makes weight at 153 pounds. I saw that. I just started laughing.
How would you like to see the spread that's going to be in front of McGregor today, as his camp says that he will be fighting most likely around 170.
Oh, I mean, so
we're talking about a 17-pound upper tonight.
I mean, it's going to be a lot of liquids, too.
It's going to be a lot of liquids.
He's probably dehydrated as all hell.
Dehydrated, but I guarantee you it's going to be a nice spread.
Absolutely, it's going to be a nice spread. What do you think the mortality rate is going to be this weekend in Vegas, too?
Mortality rate?
Yeah, from all the people that are partying. I mean, the mortality...
I thought you were going to go with something different. If Conor McGregor... wins.
If Conor McGregor wins,
does the percentage of red-haired people in America go from like 2% to 3%?
Are you talking about because they're going to be so ecstatic they're going to be making babies?
Yes.
Yes, I can see that happening.
Yeah, we're going to see a stark rise.
They always do that every
in red-haired percentages.
They always do that every year at college game day. Yeah. They're talking about how, like, okay, what you're going to see is that
National championship babies. Well,
yeah, they do.
And I'm sure
there's going to be a lot of Dabos running around here.
Yeah, and they did it at the beginning of the baseball season. There was Cubs World Series babies.
Oh, of course. Be a lot of Chris Bryant Rockios running around. If you were to make a baby after the Cubs won the World Series, just giving you the last name, or Chris Bryant Rockio or Rudolph.
How dare you, first of all, ever associate my last name with those Chicago punks? How dare you?
Punks.
There's never been someone with this beautiful surname to root for the Chicago Cubs. Thank you very much. How dare you?
The funny thing to me about this fight is that when they had the press conference on, did you see the press conference on Wednesday? And then they have, Mayweather McGregor's, you know, staring at each other nose to nose. And then they would have the ring card girl standing behind them. The ring card girls are bigger than what Mayweather and McGregor are.
Yeah.
It was not a good option.
Earlier on the hard line, Matt Widener also pointed out that those ring girls in the Wednesday one were particularly dead eyed.
What do you mean?
He just said, you could tell there was no thoughts, no soul behind those eyes.
I mean,
I was like, Jesus, this is aggressive.
That is a little aggressive.
The two today, very good looking. Very good looking.
I know a couple of girls that were ring car girls, and one is an insurance agent now, and one's a paralegal. So, I mean, some of them have brains.
God, why are they always paralegals? Why are they all like half,
I know a couple of really good looking girls that are paralegals.
This is what I'm saying. But I guarantee you right now, go to any cheerleader roster in the NFL, two paralegals.
Yeah.
I freaking guarantee it.
Pharmaceutical sales rep, too. There's a lot of good-looking women who are pharmaceutical sales reps.
I guarantee it. Two of them.
H- How dare you is the new FU. That is according to the Baldwin bottom feeder.
He's right. He's a little bit right. I pull off the how. I go with the how dare you.
I do the how dare you on Twitter as a
subtle way to go with the because although I curse a lot, I try not to on Twitter and such, and so I go with the how dare you.
Oh, I'll curse on Twitter. I don't care.
I try not to. I don't. It's got my name on top of it. You know, I try to be a little bit more professional.
Oh, I mean,
I try
like,
to keep the F word off of it. I won't go full FCC. Hold back on it. You know,
we got Sean back. All right, joining us right now, back on the Bellman Automotive phone line is Sean Wheelock. Hopefully the phone plug is hopefully the phone is nice and charged and ready to go. Right, Sean?
Aren't cell phones a great thing? They've completely changed talk radio for the better and for the worse. But I am back.
So we were talking about how the press conference on Wednesday, how they had Floyd and Connor staring at each other nose to nose, and then they had the ring car girls standing behind them, and the ring car girls were bigger than what the fighters were. It wasn't exactly a great optic.
Yeah, you know, Floyd Mayweather Jr., I mean, he made his name, he made his reputation in boxing as someone who fights at 140 and 147 pounds, junior welterweight and at welterweight. And people who follow MMA, it's confusing because welterweight in MMA is 170. And world-class welterweights in MMA who fight at 170 will walk around 195 to 205, maybe even 210 pounds. You don't see that extreme weight cutting in boxing, so you're a welterweight in boxing at 147, you might be walking around at 155 pounds. In this fight after full rehydration, I think you'll see Conor McGregor somewhere around 168, and I think you'll see Floyd Mayweather Jr. between like 152 and 155. Now, if Mayweather were more of an offensive fighter, more of a brawler, more of a puncher-boxer, it makes a difference because he's so elusive. I see that making no difference whatsoever. And when we started this interview, you were asking me about fatigue. You know, to fight in MMA for 25 minutes is an incredible achievement in fitness, but also to box for 12 rounds is an incredible achievement in fitness. And it's completely different. It would be akin to going and running for an hour or swimming for an hour. They both are incredible feats, but they use different muscles, and it's just a completely different workout of the human body. That's what you're going to see. And then also all of the punches that McGregor is going to be taking from Mayweather, whether it's on the counter or on the slip, he's going to continually be punched to the body. And in MMA, punches are much more one at a time. You see very basic combinations. And again, I'm an MMA commentator. I train in MMA. I love it as I love boxing, so I'm not being derisive. But
sure.
The objectives are different. So you see a lot of what are 1-2s, which if you're fighting out of the right hand of the orthodox stance, it's a 1, it's a jab, and then the 2, which is the right cross. You don't see a lot of these very complex combinations in MMA, mainly because they don't work, because someone can kick your legs, or they can shoot a takedown, or they can clinch. So it's really having to completely learn an entirely different type of striking. I cannot stress enough, as a guy, again, who works in both sports, striking for MMA and striking for boxing are very, very different things technically.
Now, Mayweather, in a recent interview with Stephen A. Smith, has said that, you know, he understood that his last fight against, his last big fight against Manny Pacquiao, that the fans were not very happy with that fight. It was kind of boring, and because Floyd Mayweather is not an offensive fighter. He's a defensive fighter. He rarely knocks anybody out. I think the last time was 2007, but he said this time he's going for the knockout and he's changing his fighting style. Is he only doing that because he's going up against a novice like Conor McGregor, or do you think this is a total psych job?
Well, I think it's part of both. And the fact is that Mayweather at 40 years old, who, again, I think is the greatest defensive fighter of his generation, not the greatest fighter, but the greatest defensive fighter of his generation, so say of the last 20 years, he just can't now say, all right, I'm going to be a completely different type of fighter. He counters, he slips, he moves, he does that front shoulder roll. It's a certain style. What I think you'll see him do is maybe throw more punches on the inside than he would against somebody like Canelo Alvarez or somebody in his last fight like Manny Pacquiao or his last big fight. His last fight was Andre Berto. And even Andre Berto, who's not seen as an A-lister, that was not that thrilling of a fight offensively. But Mayweather, I think, will probably open up to the body, and I think he'll start to wear down McGregor. Don't expect this to end in 3 minutes. This isn't Mike Tyson fighting someone out of MMA, a 1989 circa Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see a lot of movement, a lot of frustration on the part of McGregor, and the Mayweather start to open up. But I didn't. This really flew below the radar, beneath the radar. But in March of last year, I did a fight which was almost the junior varsity version of this bout. We did it in Phoenix. It was on pay-per-view. It was Roy Jones Jr., who I do think is the greatest fighter of his generation, against an MMA fighter named Byron Phillips. Now, Roy Jones Jr. fought at 49 years old. Byron Phillips is a C-minus level MMA guy, but it was still someone who had never boxed professionally against one of the greatest fighters in the history of the sport. And Roy Jones played, he moved around, and then in round number two, he slept, knocked out cold Byron Phillips.
Yeah.
Now, Jones is a different sort of fighter, but he also made his name partly on being elusive, being tough to hit. And I think if people would find that fight online, they're going to get a little bit of a sample of, I think, what you're going to see. Again, I don't want to be derisive of this fight because I'm watching it. It's going to be great. I cannot wait. This is the most excited I've been about a big boxing pay-per-view probably since the 1990s, quite frankly.
Really? Even though you know that you already know pretty much, you pretty much already know the outcome, and you're still this excited
absolutely
for it.
Absolutely. But then I'm somebody who loves Muhammad Ali versus Antonio Inoki from 1976. Just read a great book on that from Josh Gross.
Sure.
I love spectacle and combat sports. If this is Floyd Mayweather Jr. versus Ric Flair, I'm going to be watching with rapt attention as well. And I go back to what Chael Sonnen said, and I think it bears repeating, that you're not watching to see who wins, you're watching to see what happens. This is a cultural event. This is the Super Bowl halftime show. This is the Summer Olympic opening ceremonies. This is a cultural event. And even though BBC reported this morning that 7,000 tickets are unsold, so that's basically one-third of T-Mobile Arena, I think this is going to shatter pay-per-view records. Pacquiao versus Mayweather, 4.6 million pay-per-view buys, that's the all-time record. Bigger than anything that WrestleMania did before they moved to online WWE Network. That's bigger than any Mike Tyson fight, bigger than anything Oscar De La Hoya did. And I think this is going to shatter 4.6 million pay-per-views because, again, it's a cultural event. I know this is big when people who have no idea about fighting are having fight parties.
Yeah.
And a random dad from my kid's school said, oh, I'm having a fight party. It's someone who's never asked me about fighting once, and he's having a fight party. Again, this has crossed over into that Super Bowl halftime territory.
Sean Wheelock from CBS Sports joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Sean Wheelock. I think I saw Darren Revelle tweet out today that the tickets, like now the cheapest tickets are going to be like $112. So they're probably going to get some pretty good walk-up traffic. They're going to lower them enough to where people are going to be like, okay, yeah, now we're going to go and now we're going to watch
absolutely
a fight, and that arena will be sold out. Someone that you know MMA and you know boxing, if you were counseling Conor McGregor and you, like you said, he's got pretty much a 0% chance of winning this fight, what is the advice that you would give him? What's his best way of winning this fight?
That's a great question, and what I would say, absolutely close distance. Make this an ugly fight. Foul as much as you can, and I hate to say that, but it's true. Foul as much as you can and get away with it. Hold, clinch, grab, dirty box, hit late on the break. I'm not saying hit low because I don't advocate that, but close space. If you allow Floyd Mayweather Jr. to have space, this is going to be ugly. Make this what's called in fighting a phone booth fight, where it looks like two guys are standing in a phone booth. Do not allow distance. Use your height, use your reach, use your extra weight. Press on him, hold it, make it as ugly as possible. People will boo, they will hate it, and that's your best chance at winning. You're still not going to win, but it's your best chance at winning.
Do you think there's any kind of chance that, let's say Conor McGregor, he loses the fight, but he doesn't embarrass himself. He does an okay job. He loses like what we think is going to be maybe a technical knockout in the mid rounds, you know, anywhere between 6, 7, 8, 9. But he doesn't embarrass himself. Can you see him maybe making the transition from MMA to boxing because he sees how much money he can make in boxing? He's already got maybe another fight in Paulie Magliocchi from another boxer who's kind of retired but will probably come out of retirement to fight Conor McGregor because he knows what kind of money he could make. Could you see Conor maybe go boxing full time?
I don't know about full time, but I could see him doing another one of these types of fights. Like you mentioned, Paulie Malignaggi, I think, would be very realistic. I think you're going to see other MMA fighters look for this crossover. Look, it's a lot more realistic that an MMA fighter could eventually beat a boxer, especially an older boxer, one whose skill set is eroded. you're not going to come in like James Toney tried to do against Randy Couture
and
learn MMA. Because MMA, for people who don't follow that closely, it's the decathlon. You have to be really good at a lot of different things. In boxing, you have to be great at one thing, and that's punching. In MMA, you have to be really good at a lot of different things. You don't necessarily have to be great at anything to be a great MMA fighter. You just have to be really good at a lot of things. So for someone to come in from boxing and fight someone in MMA, even a mid-level MMA guy, is unrealistic because they'll get their front leg kicked off. They'll take a head kick. They won't know how to sprawl. They won't know submission defenses. It takes a long time just to learn how to defend submissions properly. But I think you're going to see possibly, depending on how it goes tomorrow night, but there's a lot of money at stake. I think Forbes is saying that the total gross with everything could be over $1 billion.
Wow.
So you're going to see other MMA fighters, other boxers at certain places in their career look and say, yeah, I think this could happen. You know, if you're talking about Canelo Alvarez or Gennady Golovkin or Terence Crawford, fighting an MMA guy, probably not. But if you're talking about someone like Bernard Hopkins or Roy Jones Jr. again, Manny Pacquiao, yeah, I think you could see those types of fights.
Oscar De La Hoya, who is promoting the Canelo Triple G fight, he tweeted out, bleep you, hashtag Mayweather versus McGregor. You are disrespecting the sport of boxing. And then our friend and your friend, Brett Okamoto, replied with that saying that Conor McGregor made the weight at 153. And I just started laughing.
I was commentating boxing for CBS Sports Network 2 weekends ago in Cancun, Mexico, and it wasn't a Golden Boy show, but there were people from Oscar De La Hoya's company, Golden Boy. Bernard Hopkins was there, and there were a few other executives, and they were speaking very derisively about the fight. One said, I don't know if it's true, that the ticket sales were so bad they had actually had to put them on sale at Costco's in Las Vegas, and saying that very mockingly and derisively on that. But again, this is a rival promoter. This is Floyd Money Mayweather's promotion company going against that. You know, I commentated both Affliction shows in 2007, 2008, and guess who was a sponsor of that? Why, it was Golden Boy, Oscar De La Hoya. Now, that was straight MMA, but I think some of that is disingenuous because you're always going to see arguments and battles between the major boxing promoters. That's just who they are. Just like if Dana White weren't involved in this, Dana White would be calling this the biggest mockery in the history of MMA. But because the UFC is behind it and it's their biggest star, well, they're on board. But if this were, say, a top fighter coming from Bellator, then you would hear things differently.
Every sports bar in St. Louis that's showing this fight is charging a pretty hefty cover charge to get in. So, yeah, this is a pretty big thing. I kind of doubt they're selling tickets at Costco.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And you know what? It's one thing to actually be motivated to get on a plane, fly to Las Vegas. You know the hotel rooms are going to be high. It's the end of summer anyway, so there are a lot of European travelers who are going to be there. It's a busy weekend anyway for Vegas. And then to spend maybe over $1,000 for a ticket that's not that good, but it's the fight parties. And obviously, we all know that as much as you want to sell tickets, the real money is in pay-per-view television. Now,
yes.
I'm not going to the fight party of that random dad who invited me. I politely declined. I'm going to a fight party with the guy who owns my MMA gym, but I think he's having about 50 people. Usually when he has a UFC watch party, there may be between 10 and 15 people. And this is where I think this fight is so massive and why I think it's going to shatter all pay-per-view records. I think it's going to top five, maybe hit 5.2 million. And again, Pacquiao versus Mayweather right now holds the record at 4.6 million pay-per-view buys. Same price, $99.95 in HD. You're pulling from the boxing crowd. You're pulling from the MMA crowd. You're pulling from the crowd that watches maybe one or two UFCs a year. Like, they probably watched the UFC in Madison Square Garden, UFC 205. They probably watched Cormier Jones 2, which was UFC 214 last month. But they're not the MMA hardcores. You're pulling from the boxing casuals, too, the people who probably last bought a boxing pay-per-view with Pacquiao versus Mayweather. Maybe they watched the Pacquiao-Horn fight, or they just watched Terence Crawford, or they watched Vasily Lomachenko on ESPN, but they're not the boxing hardcores. They're the casuals. Then you're going to get that crowd who are the casual sports fans. They really don't pay attention to combat sports, but they're good sports fans. And then you're going to get the people who watch the Super Bowl as their only NFL game. they watch the Olympics and they don't follow sports, but they're treating this like this is the Academy Awards. They're treating this like pop culture rather than sport. So you're pulling from all of these various pools of people, and that's going to equal a lot of pay-per-view revenue. Again, you just think about the math. You sell 5 million pay-per-views at $99.95 each, and that's not a single T-shirt sold. That's not a program.
Yeah.
That's not a ticket.
It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
They also sold the rights in the UK for BBC Radio and Sky TV. There's international rights all over. Factor in what Showtime has paid to be the pay-per-view partner for this. There's a lot of money. So when Forbes says $1 billion, yeah, I think they're pretty close.
I think there's also going to be a group of people buying the pay-per-view like me who consistently go to restaurants to watch the MMA ones, but because the places they usually go are already set up to be so crowded for this fight that I'm actually, and some of them are charging upwards of $25-$30 for cover, I'm actually thinking about just getting five people together and going in on buying it myself. I've never bought a pay-per-view for any fight before. Again, I just go to Buffalo Wild Wings for the MMA fights all the time, and yet I'm seriously considering buying this one with a couple people because the talk about how crowded the regular places are going to be, it's ridiculous. And so they're going to get a little bit of that market, too, of people like me who would be one of the 50 crammed into somebody's living room, but again, doesn't want to deal with that kind of uncomfortable levels. And so it's just going to break down and spend $100 of my own or with two or three other people.
And I think there are a lot of people across the United States and Canada who are going to do the exact same thing. And you think about the genius of timing. Now, obviously, the UFC made sure that they did not have an event. There's a Bellator tonight, but it's really flying under the radar. But, again, it's a Bellator tonight. Bellator typically fights on Fridays, not on Saturdays. Certainly, there's no UFC. They would never have a UFC go head-to-head on this. College football is just getting started, so there's not that marquee Saturday night college football game. We've not started the NFL, and even though, obviously, the NFL wouldn't be playing a Saturday this early in the season, there's still a lot of attention. People would say, oh, you know what, I'm not going to go to the bar. I'm going to watch the NFL all day tomorrow. So you have the section of baseball, obviously, where we are, where it's not quite the pennant races yet, and people are maybe a little tired of baseball before they heat back up with the pennant races. So about as open a weekend as you can get on the American sports calendar, that's what they've found. The timing is absolutely genius in this. If you put this fight 1 month forward, I don't think it sells the way it does. But, again, people are going to go to the sports bar to watch the fight. No one's going to say, oh, I want to watch that college football or I want to watch the Major League Baseball.
Yeah, turn that off. And
literally, it's going to be on the fight.
Turn that fight off and put on East Toenail State versus, you know, South Alabama A&M. Yeah,
exactly.
No one's going to be saying anything like that
tonight. Oh, I've got to watch the Angels. No, no one's going to be saying that. Absolutely. So the timing of this is genius as well. If it disappoints anywhere financially, it's going to disappoint in ticket sales. But again, as to what we're talking about, they will price it. They will move these tickets. If they have to, they'll let people in for free because they want the optics of a full house.
Sean Wheelock from CBS Sports joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Sean Wheelock. Okay, Sean, final question of the night. Let's get your official prediction. I know you said that Mayweather's going to win, but how's he going to win? Is it going to be decision? Is it going to be straight knockout? Is it going to be technical knockout? How's it going to happen?
I think because Mayweather's just not a headhunter, I really could see this ending in somewhere around the sixth or seventh or eighth round. And it's just a straight TKO, just Mayweather just burying body shots to McGregor. Again, because he's not a headhunter, Floyd Mayweather Jr., he never has been. So to see that Mike Tyson type of knockout is probably not going to happen. To see Conor McGregor just completely collapse through being overwhelmed to the body after five, six, seven, eight rounds, that's the type of fight I think you're going to see. A very frustrating fight. It might not be the most pleasing fight, you know. Muhammad Ali, Antonio Inoki in 1976 was kind of a train wreck, yet we're talking about it 41 years later because it was fun and it was a cultural event. So I think you're going to see someone be very hard to hit, someone get very frustrated, and someone get beaten down to the body with a lot of shots.
Sean, we appreciate your time as always, sir, and enjoy the fight tomorrow, and we look forward to having you on soon. I would imagine we'll have you on to talk about Canelo Triple G.
I would love that. Yeah, you guys are great. It's always my pleasure. Thank you so much. Enjoy the fight.
Thanks, Sean. Sean Wheelock from CBS Sports, and you can follow him on Twitter at Sean Wheelock. Yeah, I think that he hit the nail on the head. He made some really good points, and you were raising your arm victoriously when he said that the advice he would give Conor McGregor is to dirty box and keep it in a phone booth and, you know, body shots and clinch, and then when you break it up, kind of sneak one in a little bit. Yeah, I mean,
how about that? How many times when you talk about analyzing a boxing match, do you have a guy with all the height and length in his corner and
all
then
the
tell, and then
he's
tell
got all
him,
the physical advantages.
But no, but not
McGregor
that.
Does. Age,
but no,
reach.
But not that. I'm saying, how many often do you tell a guy who has just height and reach that he's got to keep it in a phone booth?
Yeah, it's not too often.
Never, and especially against a defensive fighter, you probably say, listen, you're not going to hit him very often. Your best chances are to stay away from him and use your length to be the only times you catch him. And yet, here we are saying the best analysis is to get him inside a phone booth. I think it's just showing how out of bounds from the regular box of boxing, I should have found a better way to phrase that, this fight really is. In that every part of the analysis is different here just because of a guy with so much experience going up, it's a guy with so little.
Yeah, they've done a good job of, both of them have actually done a pretty good job of making people think that Conor McGregor has a chance when he really
Mayweather
has, when
helped.
He has none.
Mayweather helped everybody when he when
absolutely
what came out as the one who wanted smaller gloves.
I'm slowing down.
Unbelievably good.
I'm
PR.
I'm slipping a step. I'm going to change my fighting style. Yeah, he really has done a good job.
And you know. Floyd's not a huge talker. I mean, he's not a huge talker, but the way he's been silent during these last couple ones, that dude is so cold confident right now. He's not.
Why wouldn't he be?
He's not.
Why
obviously he's not. But I mean, this guy has no doubt about how he's putting this loudmouth out. There's no doubt in his mind. Love it.
Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and Mark joins us. Good evening, Mark. How are you?
What's going on, gentlemen? How you guys
good,
doing?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
You know what? I hope Floyd Mayweather beat Conor McGregor like a drum, man.
It's going to happen.
Like a drum.
It's going to happen.
You're
going to
have that.
Your wish is going to come true.
Yes.
Yes.
No need to rub the genie lamp again.
First of all, man, you talking about a guy who ain't never even been in the ring with shoes, with boxing shoes. So trying to get into the best. Well, one of the greatest defensive boxers of all time.
Yeah,
man.
not professionally he hasn't. You're right. And you know what? You bring up the boxing shoes. I wonder how that's even going to, like, that could even play into Conor McGregor's head because he's so used to fighting barefoot. Now he's got to fight in shoes. How is that going? I mean, it sounds funny.
I love it.
But it could be a factor. But, I mean, Mayweather's, I mean, like I said, at the end of this fight, Mayweather is, he's going to be covered in sweat and that's going to be it. He's just going to look like he had a really good workout and that's all of it. I don't think Conor McGregor, someone texted in and said the over-under on punches land by Conor McGregor are 14. I think that's way too high. I would set it at 10 and I would ship the under. I just don't think that Conor McGregor is going to touch him.
I don't think. No way. No way. I said, now this guy haven't even been in a boxing room with boxing shoes though, and he's trying to go up against Floyd Mayweather.
Hey, man, they're paying him though. That's why he's doing it. He's doing it because they're paying him an awful lot of money.
Yeah, they're giving him like a quarter of the GDP of Ireland, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, he's going to be making so much money on this fight. I don't blame him one bit. Now there are a lot of fight doctors who are seriously concerned about Conor McGregor's health in this fight.
I know. I would be too, man. I mean, come on. He's going to get tattooed, man. I'm telling you.
He is. You know, Conor McGregor is going to look like he stuck his head in a beehive by the time the fight's over. He is. I'm trying to. Well,
right.
You remember, Mark, you're a boxing fan. You remember back in the early 2000s, they had like a middleweight tournament, and eventually it was Tito Trinidad versus Bernard Hopkins. They were the ones who fought at the very end.
Don't mention that, man. I'm disappointed when you brought that up, man.
Why are you disappointed in that? I figured you were a Bernard fan. Bernard won that fight.
That's what I'm saying. I was a Trinidad fan back then. I love Tito, man.
Over Hopkins?
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming either, Rocchio. But I'm trying to remember who Bernard Hopkins fought before that. It was like William Joppy or William Joffy. I'm trying to remember what his name was. And he was an okay fighter, but he wasn't great. And Bernard Hopkins fought him and then like beat him pillar to post. And they showed him the next day, and his face was so swollen. It looked like he was attacked by bees. Like, he looked like when you watch the cartoons and they get stung by bees and their face swells up, that's what he looked like.
Yeah, that's the first time I actually saw Trinidad really get beat. I said, yeah, it was no doubt Bernard Hopkins would have beaten on Trinidad.
A beating on him. And you want to talk about someone who was an underrated trash talker? That's Bernard Hopkins. Bernard Hopkins was an underrated trash talker. Because I remember at that press conference, he took out a bag of beans and a bag of rice and threw it at Tito Trinidad, who's Puerto Rican. And because Bernard Hopkins is the executioner. And that was Tito Trinidad's last meal before he got executed. And he said he was on Jim Rome's show. And he told Jim Rome, he goes, there isn't a Puerto Rican out there who doesn't like beans and rice. So that was his last meal. I mean, that's what Bernard Hopkins did.
Damn,
that
guy, man.
That Bernard Hopkins was a...
That's uncalled. Oh,
he was a beauty.
Oh,
was
savage.
He a beauty. I miss Bernard Hopkins.
I would think Bernard tried to stay in that one fight too many, man. He got his, you know.
He did. He got knocked all the way out of the ring. I felt bad when that happened, but, you know, Father Time is undefeated for a reason. And I don't know if you heard Sean Wheelock, but he was talking about how he called a fight with Roy Jones Jr., who's still fighting, like, at 49 years old. Like, what's he doing?
Right, yeah, he did. He got knocked out too, man. I felt sorry for him.
He got knocked out by Antonio Tarver twice.
Right, exactly. I said, man, you got to know when your time is up, man. That's a young man's sport. Boxing is the ultimate young man's game. So if you ain't did all you did by 40, man, it's too late for you to do it. You know
what was the great thing Antonio Tarver said whenever they they went over the rules of the fight with the official. And he says something about, like, what's your excuse going to be tonight, Roy, after I knock you out? That's what he said. And then he went out and he knocked him out again. Boxing used to be so much fun. So much fun.
That's why I think of McGregor just trying to make a mockery out of this boxing. That's why I hope Mayweather just knock him out.
I don't think he's making a mockery out of it. I think he's making a lot of money out of it. That's the reason why he's doing it. Those UFC fighters don't get paid anything. And he's going to make more in this fight than he ever has in his entire career. That's exactly why he's doing it, and I can't say I blame him. Mark, we got to go, buddy. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the fight, and we will talk to you on Monday. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Kevin Brackett from RealSpoilers.com. First hour of the program is brought to you by Thomas Bax at American Family Insurance, 314-298-7770. Call now, mention that 590 show like Giamatti's going to do, and get a $10 gift card. You're listening to that 590 show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Julio served that scampi.